Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And joe@rte.ie and 51551 is the text number. And take at Joe RTE with you wherever you go over the summer if you need to contact us. We will be here all summer again. Thanks to Katie Hannan. The last fortnight was our first stint. I don't think it'll be our last. It was our first stint on Liveline. And I listened to most of it because I was up the north filming a documentary about the children killed in the Troubles and researching a book on the very, very difficult topic. So I listened to the programme a lot, and well done, Katie, and well done the team as well. Now let me go to Mark here, because Mark, I won't be saying to you well done on coming back to Ireland, though people should, because we need engineers like you back in Ireland. You came back, you're not too long back, but you're now regretting the whole return journey, Mark. Is that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely right, Joe. Thanks very much for having me on air. I very much appreciate it. I do definitely regret coming back to Ireland. I was in the States for 22 years plus, and just returned back. And the system here is ridiculous. I can't get a driver's license. I've reached out to several politicians, Colin Burke, also Lorraine Clifford Lee, among many. And, you know, the responses to me were very, very poor.
Now, why can't you get a driver's license, Mark?
So basically the system that they have here is like you take 12 lessons and then you have a driver's permit for 6 months or so. And, you know, I can't do that because basically we have a house in the country. My wife is there with my son, Jack. Jack developed focal epilepsy in America. She needs the car with her to drop him to school. Mm-hmm. And I need the car to go around to vendors and visit different sites here at work. So we really need two cars. We have a second car, but I got no quote.
No, Mark, I suppose the answer I was looking for is you have a driver's license. You've been driving for years.
Yes, I've been driving for over 22 years, and I have a letter from the California AAA, the guys that insured us, saying that I was never in an accident or had a claim in 22 years. But the insurance company here just didn't want to even hear it, didn't care. They charged me $5,500 for insurance for me and my wife.
And did they say why?
They didn't care. I was just happy to actually get... I called several of the big companies.
Yeah.
And I got these guys on the phone that just said, we weren't even going to quote you.
What type of car is costing you €5,500 a year to get insured?
I'll tell you exactly, Joe. It's a Volkswagen Jetta. Volkswagen Jetta, 2013.
A decent car, but it's not a Range Rover Evoque. Like it's our 192 or whatever. It's a Volkswagen Jetta, and that's costing you $5,500 to get insured.
Yes, that's exactly it. And as I said, you know, I would ask any politician that's listening to this right now, please contact me, help me out. It seems like a shame that we left the country, the door was closed on us, you know, and now we come back and there's nothing there for us. The other thing, Joe, I'd like to add is there's a lot of friends of mine that are engineers in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they're waiting to see how I get on. And my advice back to them would be stay where you are. It's been horrible. My son didn't get accepted into a school in Leitrim Village, 11-year-old son. The principal had said, yeah, he's going to get in definitely. And then we get a letter from the government or the school service saying, no, he's not going to get a place.
And did they say why, Mark?
Yeah, they said there was too many people in the class, but I would have really liked if they'd said, well, if not this school, try this other one. So come September, we have no school to put him into.
Your bank account.
Oh, bank account. Yeah, that was brilliant. I won't mention the bank if you don't want me to. But basically, we went in, took time off work, went into the bank, me and my wife. Never asked for a marriage certificate. I just wanted to get her on my account that I'd had for years. And they wanted to see all this documentation from my wife's side, social security number and all that stuff. And they sent us a letter saying that America has laws that if you're in any other country, that you got to declare your taxes back to America. But I didn't realize that American law was the rule here in Ireland. So we've basically stalled on that. We're working towards trying to get our driver's licenses and insurance and trying to get on with life. But it's been, Joe, I tell you, it's been a nightmare. It's been a complete and utter nightmare.
And buying a house, don't mention where and don't mention the auctioneer, but buying a house, what was your experience there, Mark?
Oh, that was unbelievable. And I'd like to add that my wife and I, we'd bought two houses in the Bay Area before we left. and it was unbelievable. It was great. It was a great experience. America was good to me in that sense. Mm-hmm. Here in Ireland, I called up a load of auctioneers on, I won't mention them, but the website was, can I mention the website?
Yeah, do mention the website.
Daft.ie.
Yeah,
and great website.
Yeah.
But I had been contacting auctioneers for months, different ones, calling the whole lot. Then eventually we looked at a house and we were we liked the house. We made a verbal offer. We were going to transfer $5,000 to take the house off the market. And the same evening, the auctioneer was fine with it. The next day he called me up and he said, the builder wants $5,000 more for the price of the house. So
even though you'd settled?
Yes, it was a verbal handshake, the whole lot. My wife emailed him the next day saying, we're going to wire the money into your account. And then he called me a couple of hours later. And
so when he looked for the €5,000, even though you'd already agreed on a price, how did you sort that one out?
To be honest with you, Joe, I was totally shocked. I lost my mind. I said, is this how you do business? Is this how it's done? And, we've had such negative response and we want to get on our feet that, I argued it went in back and forth and I believe we got him down to $2,500, not the original $5,000. But it wasn't so much the money, it was the principle. It was just disgusting how they do business.
And you're a medical devices engineer, which I presume there's many, many. Are you working here?
I got the job before I arrived.
Okay, because there's a lot of those companies in Ireland.
Oh, yeah. The medical device industry is huge in Ireland, but they're actually crying out for people with experience.
Okay, so we want to get... So the country needs you and your ilk. So what's your experience in terms of working and taxation and paperwork and employment?
Work was great. My boss is unbelievable. The medical device industry is on par with any place in the world. I've worked for Johnson & Johnson, Abbott, all those big companies. My boss, as I said, was great. The tax people were brilliant. And
right.
I don't know if that, they called me up a week after I arrived just to verify my RSI number, which I guess now is a PPS number. And they had it all sorted, no problem. The place I'm living in and the people are wonderful, unbelievable, very, very helpful. But just the whole system in itself, like, Joe, if I could tell you this, I was under the impression that every household in Ireland has a family member in America. If these people came back, they would be shocked at how unwelcome you are. Yeah, and they don't care. Like, my big thing is, if I don't get a driver's license by September, I'm going to be forced either to leave my job, go back to America, or drive without insurance. And nobody cares.
Well, okay, you can't do that. But how many politicians have you contacted?
I've contacted, I would say, over 25. I sent them the exact same email that I sent you, and I got a response from a guy called Colin Burke, and his response was very, very poor. And then I got a response...
Well, in fairness to him, he did respond, but why do you say his response is poor?
He did respond, but he tried to give me that runaround speech. Like I said, look, here's the problem, is perhaps you pick up the phone and maybe do something for me. But he started rambling, was the only words I would use. He started giving me examples of how some American had knocked down a bicyclist in Ireland and that, that their record isn't that good. But I told him, that doesn't apply to me. Show me some data with Irish people returning from America that have operated vehicles for over 22 years, like myself. How many crashes are they in that justifies the insurance company jacking up their insurance? And he was just basically talking around in circles like a typical politician. I did appreciate the call. Thank you very much. That was very good of you. But, and then the other person that I reached out to was Lorraine Clifford Lee. She said that a colleague of hers in Clare would contact me. And I haven't heard anything. She'd mentioned the mayor of Clare. I haven't heard anything whatsoever. So I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
But Mark, to bounce it the other way for a few moments, if you had contacted a politician in the States, would you get a phone call?
That's very true. That's very true. But in the States, I wouldn't be in the same position. Like one of your researchers was asking me, how difficult is it in the States to get a driver's license? And to be honest with you, when I was doing it years ago, it wasn't that bad. Now, I don't have any love for the politicians in the States. We left because of Trump and the whole craziness and the guns and all that. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this. I don't mean to be biased, but I do see what the country is doing for other people. And I'm experiencing what they're not doing for the returning Irish. That's my problem. And I want to work. You know, I just want to get up in the morning and go to work, do a good job. You know, it's not like I don't want a red carpet. I don't want a handout. I just simply want to work.
Okay, two reasons you gave there for coming back to Ireland, Trump, but probably that's a myriad of reasons, and the gun laws. Other reasons why you came back?
Well, you know, my wife had worked for a long time, and the Bay Area was just craziness. We can spend family time. I definitely am getting family time, Joe, and it certainly is. You're like, you're weighing up the pros and cons. You know, I get the chance to spend some time with my son, which I love. I had a 2-hour commute in the San Francisco Bay Area. Now I have a 10-minute commute, which is great. It's wonderful. And Ireland, I have to hand it to, it's came a long way. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. So many different nationalities and accents and languages and everything. It's amazing. But what I just very, very disappointed in is the fact I left after my leaving cert pretty much, and I had no choice. And I was in that generation of people that if your dad didn't know someone or you didn't know someone, you had to go. And, you know, I thought coming back would be much friendlier than it is, but it's not. There's a gray area for people that are older like myself that have been driving, and we just want to get on with life. They're treating me like a 16 or 17-year-old with a provisional driver's license. That's not the case. And, you know, I had a long conversation with Mr. Burke, the senator, about insurance. And my thing seemed like it was falling on deaf ears. That's it. And from what I understand, I'm working with a 25-year-old engineer, and his insurance a year is 800 bucks, or 800 euros. I'm sorry, mine is $5,500 for a 46-year-old man.
With 22 years clean driving. But Mark, what about prices here? Because one of the many calls that we get them most days, the one that jumped out at me this morning was somebody in Dublin yesterday paid €3.10 for a green tea bag in a cup of boiling water. €3.10. Probably the...
I would say, like, prices. Food is actually very good. Like, you're getting good food that doesn't have growth hormones, antibiotics, all that kind of stuff. Now, if you're in the States and you like the fancy Starbucks coffee, you can pay like $10 for a coffee. I particularly like Barry's tea, and I bring it from home. So I can't talk to any green tea that goes. But, you know, I would say overall it's a great country, but the obstacles you got to jump through are just... It's just making it so difficult. It's horrible.
Okay, stay there with us, Mark. 51551, joe@rt.ie. And the Gillen, and what happened to you? You moved not from the States back to Ireland, but from Dublin to Killaloe in County Clare / Tipperary. Go ahead, and what happened?
That's right, Joe. Hi, and thanks for having me on there. I started up taxiing in the Killaloe area 5 years ago. I just have found it a battle every step of the way since starting up there, trying to put a service together for a community, a rural community, and it's just been one step after the next. It's just, the insurance just put obstacles up in front of you.
Give us figures.
Right, well, the latest example for me was in February this year. I bought myself a new bus. A new 8-seat minibus to, and I'd been around to many of the pubs and restaurants in the area trying to put on a shuttle service for them.
Good man.
And this bus was part of it. I was looking at employing a couple of drivers and bringing them into the business and expanding things. So, in February, when I bought this vehicle, I was told at first that they would not insure it. It turned out. They wouldn't add it on to a policy. It would have to be a fresh new policy with no claims bonus available to me, even though I've had 5 years of no claims. They then proceeded to tell me, when I went down that avenue and said, yeah, right, we'll do that, they came back and said to me that they wouldn't accept a new policy unless it came to them with 2 years of no claims bonus. So they actually wouldn't take me on unless I already had previous experience on the policy. So it was a kind of catch-22. No other insurance company was offering fresh insurance to an SPSV driver. In my experience, I had gone around the houses, checked with the different companies, and was getting refusals all around for a new licence on a vehicle.
Where do you sit now with your plans for this, which sound brilliant and is encouraged by everyone, including government, to set up this shuttle service, a taxi provider in your Ballina, Killaloe, Bord Hill, North Tip, East Clare? Where do you stand now?
Well, I'd eventually had to put my 1 year old vehicle. I had to put it up for sale, and abandoned the plans of expanding the business. I had a difficulty getting it sold, so I've recently come back around to another way of doing things. I've an older Volkswagen Transporter. I was going to sell it off and just update with the new one, put the new one into action. They at that point told me that that they're not now insuring Volkswagen Transporters for taxis. It's just off the cards. They were going to do me a favour. They were going to do me a favour by putting me on, seeing as I already have one in existence. On a policy, they were going to do me a favour, charging me an extra €3,200 a year for a newer vehicle of the same type that I'm already operating with. So that brings my policy up to about up in around €7,500 a year, which to me in a rural, and this is a key point, that it's a rural taxi service. Dublin clearly is a different story, and without getting too deeply into things, the difference between a taxi and a hackney, they're like distant cousins of each other. So the Dublin, I don't know an awful lot about the scene in Dublin, but I think that's where an awful lot of anyone who's come into taxiing in recent years have gone into the cities, the urban areas, because it's just impossible to get up and running in a rural environment, and the insurance is just one of those aspects that it's right top of the list, to be honest, of making it just prohibitive to get into taxiing and put on a service locally.
Okay, stay with us at this conversation on phones. 51551, we're talking to Mark here. Mark contacted us. He's now from Clare, originally worked for many years as a medical devices engineer in the United States, decided, like so many, to answer the call to come back home, got a job in Ireland, but is completely gobsmacked and overwhelmed by, he's thinking of heading back actually, because of the cost of insurance, the difficulties in getting even a basic thing like a driver's license, trouble with bank accounts, trouble with auctioneers, trouble with insurance, as I mentioned earlier. Let me bring in Derek in Limerick, 51551. Derek, you're listening to Mark Eyre. Go ahead, Derek.
How are you, Joe? I was just listening there. It sounds like Mark, and like it's great that people like Mark are coming back, but it seems like they expect the country they're coming back to be the one they left. If I was going to the States, I'd check to see if I could exchange my driving license for an American one. And it seems like he didn't do that before he came back, because it's quite clear on the websites of the National Driving License Service that you can't just change a US driving license for an Irish one, which seems to be the main problem with his insurance. I'm not going to defend the insurance companies, because I'd agree there that they're making profits that are absolutely massive. And while they're doing that as well, there's probably an issue with claims too. But my point really is that the driving license system, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that the research wasn't done before he got in the plane.
How do you answer that, Mark?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I'll tell you this, if the gentleman from Limerick arrived in San Francisco Bay Area, he would, Derek, you'd get a driver's license pretty fast if you were legally there. You know, there wouldn't be this thing of, 12 tests, 6 months waiting, all that good stuff. Now, that wouldn't be the case. Now, the country is crying out. I know Boston Scientific has many advertisements around the place in the States looking for medical device engineers. So would you say that to the rest of the people? Don't bother coming back until you do your research, you know? Is it a fault of the driver's license people and the government, or is it a fault of the people not doing the research coming back?
Well, I'd say that there's a reason that people have to do 12 lessons.
You're
competent to drive.
You're absolutely right. But
holding a driver's license in a country that is recognised by Ireland proves that. For example, if you'd moved from Canada or Australia, you could have made an appointment and changed your license.
Right, you're absolutely right. But the thing about it is I've operated a motor vehicle for over 22 years. I've never had a claim. You know, now you could say, well, it's the wrong side of the road or this or that, but at the end of the day, we have a system where, you know, there's lots of other different nationalities coming into Ireland. Do they find it as difficult as the returning Irish? I don't know, you know, Derek.
Well, the returning Irish, it depends on where they're coming from, because if a returning Irish person is coming from Australia, they're not going to come up against the same issues.
So why is that, you think?
Because you can just make an appointment and change an Australian driving licence for an Irish one.
How do you determine that an Australian driver's license is better or less? So what's the equivalent? You know?
Well, you made the point there that I could get a driving license in San Francisco quite quickly. But yes, maybe that shouldn't be the case because I haven't proven myself competent in San Francisco to have a driving license.
But should you believe the competency and the honesty and integrity of the Irish driver's tester system? You should, surely.
And I suppose I don't know what the testing system is in San Francisco, so...
Okay, let me bring John Halpin. John, where did you come back from?
Hi, Joe, how are you doing? I came back from Canada about 2 years ago, and I had a Canadian driver's license, and I still had a nightmare changing it over to an Irish driving license. Plus, the insurance called it to me at the time.
Okay, John, I think I'd probably hear you better if you were back in Toronto, but hang on a sec, we'll take a break and try and get a better line. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. John Halpin again on a better line, I hope.
How are you, Joe?
Good. Just back from Canada 2 years ago. I presume you have a driver's license now, John.
I do have an Irish driver's license. It was a simple matter of exchanging that previous caller had mentioned. However, the insurance quoted to me when I came back after 33 years of driving in Canada was over €4,000. And I had to go, I was used to driving a 2.5 litre vehicle when I lived in Canada. I had to go to a 1.4 Econobox in order to bring down the price of the insurance. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
So you got your driving licence easy enough because of the reciprocal with Canada, yes. But it was the insurance that turned out to be the hurdle.
The insurance, okay. And then I had the same experience as the other gentleman. I went to buy a house here in Ireland when I returned. And I was a cash buyer. I thought I would buy an existing property and renovate it. Went down the country. I'm down in Kilkenny. Went down the country, found a place, a wreck to rebuild. 30,000 was the asking price. Called a real estate agent. Put in my bid. Mm-hmm. 24 hours later, he came back. The price had shot up to 50 grand. That's 20,000 extra euros. Within 24 hours.
66%. Jumped by 2/3, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what did you do? What did you do?
I said, sorry, I'm not interested. I'm not going to buy the property. And it was a perfect site, perfect view. The ideal semi-retirement type of place you'd want to stay down the country. Beautiful. But just I've never dealt with such incompetent auctioneers in my life, and I bought maybe four houses when I lived in Canada.
Are you glad you came back, John?
Well, Joe, I spoke to you a couple of Christmases ago. We were talking about the Murphy's crisps and the whole story about the Irish connection with Murphy's out in Canada.
Yeah.
And I met an Irish girl, and that's what brought me back. And I'm gobsmacked.
Okay, well, in one sense, I shouldn't be asking if you're glad. There's many reasons why people weigh up the pros and cons. Many of them are personal, but the whole issue of insurance and red tape seems to be given that we live in a country that says we want to make it easier for people to come back. Myra, good afternoon. Where you returned to Ireland?
I did. I was away for 3 years and my insurance lapsed.
Okay.
And I didn't bother because I thought, okay, I was paying about 350 a year. And I thought, when I come back, okay, it won't cost me more than a grand. And when I got back, 3,400, about five different insurance companies quoted me exactly the same price. And I was 69 years of age. And I'm saying, well, why are you charging me? It's the same price as a guy who's starting out with no claims bonus at 21. You know, I'm hardly going to go joyriding or do handbrake turns or any of that kind of stuff. But No, I went round and round, and eventually I found a company
and
who came back in.
But when, sorry, I'll let you go in a sec, Mary, in terms of the rest of the point you're making. But you had 40 years no claims.
Yep.
And when you came
but
back
from Ireland... But if you let it lapse for more than 2 or 3 years, it doesn't count. You start again at the very beginning as if you were 21 or 22.
So they presume for those 3 years, no matter where you've been...
I've hired cars and things like that. That didn't make any difference.
Yeah, but they're saying for those 3 years, you've effectively gone into a time machine and gone back to when you were 22.
I wish I had, but wasn't. But it's a scam with the insurance company because my risk was no greater than it had been 3 years.
Good point.
3 years previously. Yeah. And, you know, it probably even was less, you know. But anyway, it's an insurance scam. Because there was no extra risk involved in me being insured again.
And
but I did find a company that came in at 1,200, and it turned out I actually had a house insurance in with them, so I got a deduction on that.
Okay.
And then I put my husband on it, and it came down. So I eventually got it at about 800, which was a huge difference from 3,400.
Sure is. Okay, Marlo, good to hear from you.
Now, so, on the driving licence issue, the driver's licence, I have friends here live beside me, and they're South African. They came to Ireland, and they just could change their South African licence for Irish license because they drive on the same side of the road as we do, and people who learn to drive on the same side of the road as we do seem to be able to exchange licenses.
Yeah, but, okay, but driving to alert yourself and become comfortable and cautious and cognizant about driving on the opposite side of the road to which you've been used to
doesn't take 6 months.
Yeah, but it's not a matter of skill. It's a matter of being reminding yourself and getting used to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Myra, thanks indeed. 51551. Tom Casey, where did you come back from?
I came back in 2005, Joe, with my wife and daughter.
From where?
From Calgary.
Okay, in Calgary in Canada. Where's Calgary, Canada?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. What's it been like for you? What's that experience?
I'm back in Canada now.
Oh, are you?
I came back in 2009, but I was listening to the gentleman. I listen to you every day here.
Great.
But I was listening to the gentleman from California, and I was laughing to myself, and at the same time being sympathetic to his woes, because I went through a lot of similar things. I think the first night, or the first day after we arrived, I went to a bank in the local town in Ashbourne. I won't mention the bank. Mm-hmm. And I asked the lady, I had a $50,000 bank draft. I said, I'd like to open an account. And she said, well, we don't open accounts on Fridays. I said, oh, geez. Well,
on a Friday? We don't open accounts on a Friday.
Hey?
You were told when you were back in Ireland, Tom, after coming back home, you were told we don't open bank accounts on a Friday, new accounts.
New account, yeah. And I said, well, is there a bank in Ireland that does? And she said, well, I couldn't tell you that, you know. And then the deal with the real estate, you know, trying to buy property, you'd phone on land and things like that. And the first thing the guy would say, well, I just got an offer of 5,000 euros more. And I said, well, you better sell it to him because I won't be buying it. And this thing of gazumping, where's... Here we have a system where you put in an offer on a property in writing. It's either accepted or rejected. And if there's two offers, he deals with one. If that offer doesn't go through and he wants to go back to the second one, the second offer has to be rewritten and presented and then signed off on. And there's no verbal agreements or anything like that. It all has to be written. And it's real clean and real transparent. And it's something that, you know, for the sake of the people there, it's something that the government should move to and legislate. And they have to train for something like 12 weeks to get a license. But the other one I used the Canadian license while I was there. And I was stopped one night in Kelt. And he checked the insurance and he checked the registration, and then he came around and said, do you have a license? I said, I do, getting the Canadian license. And then he said, how long are you back? I said, oh, just back about 2 years. And he said, well, you're supposed to get an Irish license. And I said, well, I know. I said, the woman in the insurance office told me that. But I said, I'll tell you what I told her. And he said, well, what did you tell her?
I don't think I can drive that bad.
So you came back as we're getting a little bit confused because when you say you're back here, you mean you're back in Canada. But you came back to Ireland in 2005. You stayed again. You stayed for 4 years, and then you went back again.
I did. Yeah, I came back. Yeah, and not because of the inefficiencies or whatever we were running into. It was an economic decision at the time with the way Ireland, you know, the whole economy worldwide was going. We stood a better chance of surviving over here at the time. But and I think that's one of the things that returning Irish have to be aware of, is that in North America there's a greater sense of urgency, and that's a bad reflection on Ireland. It's just a different cultural thing. And we go back with the same expectations as we have here, and it's not going to happen. So you have to relax and learn the Irish system again. And it's, people call you back here. And I remember Jerry Reinhold, I'm actually on him, complaining on one of the morning shows that no one calls you back when you phone them, regardless of whether it's a business or not, Joe.
Yeah. What do you miss about Ireland?
Everything. Yeah. Absolutely.
So why don't you come back? And why don't you come back? Or can you come back?
Wait, don't they come back? Well, the problem is you have children and then you get grandchildren and the anchors go deep, you know, the roots go deep. But I'm back every year, sometimes twice a year. I'll be back at the end of August now to watch the Dubs.
Yeah.
Do the drive.
Okay, stay there, Tom, because I have Breen F. O'Brien on the line. Breen, good afternoon. Well-known actor, both here and indeed in the States. Movies, Love, Hate, Clint Eastwood movies, the whole shebang. That's only the beginning of your talents. Breen, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. You're listening to this debate. How does it affect you?
Yeah, I just caught a bit of it here. Well, I moved back 2 years ago with my family up here to glorious Sligo up in the northwest.
But yeah.
It was certainly the first year was one of the most frustrating years of my life. As regards the driver, particularly got to do with driver's license, insurance, banks, just exactly the key things that everybody talks about. One part of the question, what I heard on your discussion, one piece that was missing for me, I think, is that, which is strange, is that for the first year when you return with an American driver's license, you drive like anyone else on the road. So there is not a problem because of the Geneva Convention of 49. You can drive with your U.S. driver's license for the first year, exactly like anyone else in the country. Then if we intend to stay longer than 1 year, you must apply for a driver's license. When you apply, you automatically become a learner driver in order to take your lessons, your 12 lessons. I believe it's gone down to 6 now. So you must become a learner.
Right.
Obviously, when you're a learner driver, you have to have a full driver's license in the car with you.
Okay.
And this is where the peculiarly Irish little thing comes in. That full driver's license can be a U.S. driver's license holder, which you have one in your pocket.
Okay.
So where you just start going, where you have these conversations with the people in the RSA who are quite lovely to talk to.
Yeah.
That people will go, yes, I know. Yes, I know that's an anomaly. So it's the fact that you are taking. So take, for example, myself and my wife, we live in a rural area. We obviously need to drive. We're working. Last year, the first year I came back, I was working down Limerick in Troy Studios. I had to drive down. My wife is on her own out here. We're not actually together during the day, so we can't sit in the car with each other to chaperone each other around. So we don't have public transport, obviously, in rural Ireland in the same way as in Dublin. And so you're left marooned unless you choose to break the law.
So, Breen, this is just take us into that scenario again. You're stopped. You're driving your car. You're stopped.
Yes.
You have to have an L plate because you have to go back.
After 1 year, well, the thing is, you can drive for a year. So in your discussions, you're talking about, it takes a while to learn to drive on the left-hand side the other side of the road, perhaps. I mean, we give licenses to direct swap exchanges to South Korea, which is, and I believe Japan, which are not only the different side of the road, but also different alphabets. We give straight swaps. So that notion is not true. The reason why they don't give the swap with Canada or with the US, they do a straight swap with, I believe, three states in Canada at the moment. They don't do it in the US because they say they have to have a reciprocal agreement with each individual state because each state has different laws, driving laws. So if I move from state to state in the United States, I can transfer, but they're technically different licenses.
Okay, but Breen, you're saying if you're stopped on your own in the car, they say to you, "Where's your license?" And
if I'm a learner,
and you take out your provisional license, which is Irish, and they say to you, "But where is your accompanying driver with a full driver's license?"
I should just say, "Hold on a minute, and I can walk around the car."
Exactly.
And sit on the other side and take out my US license.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Breen, use your considerable acting skills, which I've received numerous work, to actually try and distract the guard for a sec, and you slip out and go over and sit in the other seat and say, "Here I have, here's the full American license."
I know. Well, you know, I think if you did meet a guard, he'd actually be okay with it. The problem is that it's something happened insurance-wise.
Yeah, but it's not funny either.
No, it's not. No,
someone is stuck in the middle of...
You're stuck. You're completely stuck. But you drive for a year. So, I got to talk to a lot of politicians in that year before. After 1 year, I just gave up. I was so frustrated. I spoke to a bunch of politicians. Everyone's saying it's ridiculous. And Kieran Cannon did, and he's going around. He just finished. He did three different meetings around the country talking to the diaspora because they are now making a push to have a greater dialectic, I guess, with immigrants, or I don't say immigrant, returning citizens. Returning citizens. So they are trying to do things, but the practical approaches make no sense. Well, I literally bumped into our Taoiseach when I was at work 2 years ago there in down in Limerick. Yeah. He was going around the studio, and I brought up, Kieran Cannon had brought out, there had been 32 recommendations, I think, brought in for returning immigrants not a survey, what's the word I'm looking for? A report that had been taken out. And I said to the Taoiseach, I hope that these are implemented as soon as possible, even though I didn't feel that a lot of them actually went as far as they should. And as he was walking away, he just went, we can't do anything about the U.S. licenses. They are not of a high enough standard, is what he said. And the previous week, he had been driving in the U.S., I believe. He was probably with a U.S. license holder driving over there. And if it is not, if the teacher says that U.S. licenses are not of a high enough standard, we should not be renting cars to U.S. drivers at Dublin Airport or Shannon.
If we
think it's okay to give it to a person getting off, and why am I allowed to drive for 1 year exactly like everybody else, and then get it taken away? And of course it has huge ramifications for insurance. I couldn't get insurance because of my being from the US. I couldn't get insurance because of my job, because most places don't insure actors still. It's a minefield.
Who doesn't insure actors?
There's a bunch of insurance companies won't insure you if you're an actor.
Why?
And we're lumped together with the same as athletes. I'm not sure if barmen are the same at the moment. There's a bunch of them where they say that there are, I guess they have some figures that they think that we're higher.
Some actuarial figures, yeah. We look at that again. Robert Rohu, you're listening to Breen F. O'Brien. Go ahead about... go ahead, Robert, your point.
Yeah, I suppose I'm kind of the, like we say, that the driver wouldn't have the experience coming over here to Ireland after 22 years driving in the States. It's a different ball game, Joe, driving here on our narrow roads, you know. Look at all the bad accidents that have happened there recently, you know, with motorcyclists, you know, coming at you from different angles.
Don't go into individual accidents. I don't know what happened, and you don't know what happened. What happened. But you referenced there small roads. Where are the references that they're caused by American drivers?
Say intricate junctions, for example, Joe. Look at the junction going into Blarney there and the fatalities that was there over the years from the Limerick Road. just different junctions that they wouldn't have seen before.
Yeah, but hang on, Robert. If you come back here and go through what Breen had to go through, and every other returning citizen, as he calls them, rightly so, has to go through, even though they have a full driver's licence, they don't take it in this, we think it's six lessons now, and the six lessons that you have to do and sit your driving test, they don't take you down to Bandon. Sure they don't.
Well,
to say, listen, this is the black spot.
Fair point. They don't. I mean, you'll be brought around Cork City.
Breen, go ahead.
No, sorry, just one thing about that. The gentleman saying, so if I had my Irish driver's licence, unlike a lot of people who left the country during the downturn, maybe went to Australia, because the system was not set up to allow you to renew your driver's licence online, that was not available for Irish citizens who were outside the country. You could not renew. So after 5 years, your driver's licence lapsed. Those people who are coming back to the country would have to start again from ground zero and start off being a learner driver again. So that goes against the argument that the gentleman's putting forward. You're talking about citizens who are away, who then have to go through the same process again. You become a learner driver again. You become a learner in the eyes of the insurance company. Because the facilities were not there through the driver's license system to renew online.
Breen, how have you found moving back? I know you're living in Sligo, as you say, but as an actor who got a lot of work, rightly so, and highly acclaimed.
Well, I'm different in that I work. No matter where I am, I work away.
Okay.
You know, because I kind of stopped doing theatre about 20 years ago, so I work away all the time. So where I am, it doesn't really matter.
Great.
As regards family, it could not be a better move.
Fantastic.
The community that you get in Ireland is astonishing, and I live up in Dromardin, Sligo. It could not be a better place. I'm deliriously happy. However, the first year, I'm coming back as a middle-aged man with a little bit of savings.
Yeah.
If you're coming back to try and go, you know what, I've got a small child and I want to bring my kid up back in Ireland, or I feel like I can come back here, I would find this, and from people I've talked to, returning citizens, almost impossible.
Okay. That's good. It's good that you're back, and kind regards to you and your family, Breen F. O'Brien. Breen, do you remember?
O'Byrne,
I don't know what.
O'Byrne is my last name.
O'Byrne, sorry, my fault. Breen, is the story that Joe O'Connor tells, and you, do I remember that one correctly? You're a great buddy of Joe O'Connor.
Well, no, I met him at one particular time in my life. I don't know Joe.
Okay. It's a great story anyway about a football match. Okay, Breen, it's great to hear from you.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, it's Breen F. O'Byrne. And let me bring in Ed Foley. I will bring in Ed Foley after the break.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
By the way, just to remind you of the pedigree of Breen F. O'Byrne, he's from Mullaghan, County Cavan. I remember we spoke about him because he was in Million Dollar Baby, directed by Clint Eastwood. He played a priest in that. Nominated for a Tony Award in Tom Stoppard's trilogy, The Coast of Utopia. Numerous other awards. Nominations for the Outer Critics Circle Award. Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Miniseries or Movie. He's nominated there for his performance in Mildred Pierce. I came across him recently in a great series called Flash Forward. I presume now it's still on Prime or Netflix, which was a fine series. And then he appeared most recently, well, there's been lots since, in Little Boy Blue as Steve Jones, the father of Rhys Jones, who was murdered by gang members in 2000. So that's some pedigree. Look him up on Wikipedia. Fantastic. And it's great to hear him back in Ireland, and loving that he's loving where he's living in Ireland, up in Sligo, and why he's living in Ireland, but how he's living in terms of the bureaucracy, as you say, nearly got him down, or nearly overwhelmed him in the first year. Ed Foley is in Bandon. Ed, good afternoon.
How you doing, Joe?
You returned from the States after many years, Ed.
About 30 years, approximately.
And how did you find it?
Well, we love being home.
Yeah.
We have a very nice home, a very nice garden, and we enjoy it, but the driver licence issue has become basically a nightmare scenario for us. My wife drove in downtown New York for 30 years, and all of a sudden, she found out that she can't get an Irish license. It's truly mind-boggling, because if she was a Portuguese or a German, she could exchange her license and get a license to drive in this country. But because she's American, well, my wife is Irish, but you know, she was out in America for so many years, but she can't drive in this country. I had to take her off our insurance. She has dyslexia. I'm not in good health. If anything happens to me, she'll have to basically sell our home, move into an apartment in a strange town or whatever, and her whole life will change. And she just feels totally intimidated doing the test. And I don't blame her. She's got a great difficulty in that. But she's a very competent driver, but yet she's not viewed as safe on the Irish roads. Now, she came home every year for 30 years, maybe sometimes twice a year.
And hired a car.
And she could hire a car
out.
Yes,
yes.
And it was no problem. She could actually drive here when she came home for 1 year. Now, as you know, Joe, if you're not a competent driver, you could put a lot of people in the hospital driving for 1 year on the Irish roads. Yeah. You could put a lot of injure a lot of people and hurt a lot of people if you weren't competent. How are you competent to drive for 1 year and yet they won't exchange your license? It baffles me, but they can take our money at the airports and all the rest of it when they want to rent us out a car and let us on the roads. But we're still not competent to exchange our licenses. It just doesn't seem fair. Seems discriminatory. We bring home our pensions here. We spend our money here. We bring home our investments here. And we pay our taxes. And yes, we're just treated differently because we have an American license. After, as you know, Joe, you can drive in downtown. If you can drive in downtown New York, you can pretty much drive anywhere.
Oh, wow. If you
it's still no good. Like I said, if I'm in bad health, if anything happens to me, she's out of luck.
Have you raised what politicians at?
Joe, I have to tell you, I'm extremely cynical about politicians in this country, and I don't think a lot of people would blame me. They just don't do a damn thing to rectify situations. I've just become very cynical about the whole political scene in Ireland.
It's a legislative change, isn't it?
I don't feel they make any effort because I guess we're not a big enough group. We don't have the lobbying power, whatever, but... Mm. We're going in and telling them this story. They're just kind of your complaints are just thrown in the waste paper basket, and it's not right. As I said, we bring home our investments here, we spend our money here, and here we have to go through this nightmare scenario. It's truly. I really thought about going to Portugal and Germany to establish residency, so she could actually get the license there and then bring it back here and exchange it. But that is such a circuitous way of doing things. That's not fair either.
Yeah. But you're getting nowhere. There is an incredible backlog of legislation in Ireland. It's hard to believe.
As I said, it's truly mind-boggling to me how you can get on the roads. You shouldn't be allowed on the road for 5 minutes with any kind of a license if you're not competent to drive. But the fact that we can hire cars out, drive them on the roads here for weeks and weeks for vacations, and also come back here and be on the road for 1 year and still be viewed as not competent drivers. After that 1 year, your insurance rates rocket up. And now I had to take my wife off my insurance. I just couldn't do it. I said to myself, I'm not going to give him that money. We were paying practically £5,000 a year. That's a ridiculous sum of money. Yeah. Coming from the States where we were paying for the two of us something like $1,100 for the two of us for two cars, that is extortionist. But nobody seems to take any notice. It's just par for the course here.
Okay,
we were with Liberty Insurance in America for 15 years.
Well, they're here now,
Out of our 30-year period there. We're with them for 15 years. We came back here. We're now with Liberty Insurance. And Liberty Insurance treated us as if we had no license. They gave us no such thing as a no-claims bonus, nothing. You're a new driver. I said, listen, we were insured with you in the States. Why are you treating us differently?
Yeah,
I said, sorry, different jurisdiction, and that was a parent company. We're treating you just like a new driver. And they socked it to us, and they're still socking it to us.
Can't
do a damn thing about it.
Stay listening, Ed. Tony Bourne. Tony, good afternoon. Your son and your daughter-in-law's experience when they moved back from America 4 years ago.
Joe, it was Australia they came from. Oh, my son is with a multinational company, and him and his wife have been all over the world. He rang us at that time and he said, Dad, believe it or believe it not, I've been offered a job in Galway. I'd love to go home. we're going to take it, we're going to go back.
Right.
So we were obviously, as parents, delighted that this was happening. We thought it was a wonderful opportunity that he would come back, maybe settled in Ireland. He arrived back in Ireland and he said, I need some funds, I need to get some cash transferred, I need to obviously have some money. So we went down to a local bank, and not naming the bank, and we said, my son here, I introduced him, and I said, my son, I'd like to open a bank account.
Yeah.
And the first question he was asked was, he was 12 hours off the plane, Joe.
Yeah.
Have you a utility bill? He said, no, I've just come back, he said, from Australia. He said, I don't have such a thing, but I need to open an account, I need to transfer some funds. I'm sorry, we can't do that for you. It took 10 days with the various banks around the place before we were able to eventually, through the generosity of a friendly bank manager, allowed us to open for a limited period of time, subject to getting confirmation of all was necessary. He needed the funds, he needed to come in. Ultimately, we got over that. Eventually, he got himself a bank account, but it was considerable delay, considerable anxiety to everybody. His wife, who's an American, exactly as the last number of speakers have been saying, she has a full driving license. She had a full license in Australia. She never had an accident. She never had a claim or conviction. She disclosed the fact here when they went to insure a car that she had an Australian driving license, which is the last one she had. They accepted that. 6 months later, she got a note from the authorities here querying the source of her original driving license, which was in America.
Okay.
She disclosed that to them. They said, unfortunately, there is no reciprocal arrangement between the USA and the Republic of Ireland. You cannot have a full license anymore. You must do a test. You must start and go through the usual procedure. You can only now have a provisional license. The insurance on the car, which was a very modest, small car, went from €1,700 to €3,500 when she disclosed the fact to the insurance company.
Doubled.
Every turn they tried to make, they were hindered. Absolutely every turn, everywhere. But can you imagine just not being able to open a bank account because he didn't have a utility bill?
And what happened for a finish, Tony?
Joe, they managed to survive for 2 years, and they just said that, quite frankly, he said, he came to me one day and he said, "Dad, much to my regret, we can't take what's going on here," he said, "anymore." He said, "I've got an opportunity to go back to the States," he said, "and we're heading off in a month's time."
Wow. And he was adamant that it was, and his wife was adamant it was because of all that insurance, paperwork.
Absolutely everything. And the other thing that she couldn't believe was she was a highly qualified lady as well. Now, granted, it's 4 years ago, things weren't as good as they are now. But she submitted many, many, many applications to jobs. I don't think she got the courtesy of one reply. She found that just unbelievable to accept.
Yeah. Okay. God, these are solitary tales. Okay, Tony Byrne, thanks indeed, and kind regards to you and your family. Ed Foley, likewise. I'm back after this break.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Tom, 51551, this bizarre rule, when did you come back from the States, Tom?
About a year ago.
Okay, well, you're driving and your license, what happened?
Well, I went through the same thing, like with everybody, like the bank accounts, the insurance, like absolutely crazy, like, you know?
Okay.
But what I did, though, before I came, I actually did research it, and I went online, and I seen that, like, you had to go through the 12 classes and all that type of stuff, but they said they were going to change the law in January or April.
Yeah.
So I said, I won't do anything about my license till then, so I waited, and they said they were going to make it easier. So when I seen the change, it was down to 6 classes. But one of the changes was that now that when you went for the driving license, you do the 6 classes, and then you had to get, like, go through the whole test again, the L plates and the whole works. But when I looked at a year ago, it said that you could do the test and do the 12 classes with your driver license, your American driver license. So you didn't have to have somebody in the car with you. once you'd done it within the year that the license was legal.
So where do you stand or where do you sit now when you get into a car?
Well, right now my license is up, my insurance is up, and I'm out in the wilds of the West. So I'm basically stuck. So for the time being, I'm just going to have to drive illegally.
But how do you legally get back on the road? You go through all those classes and you resit a driving test.
Yeah, but at the moment I'm not going to be able to do that because I won't have anybody to drive with because I don't have anybody that can sit with me in a car out here where I need transport because there's no transport.
But you have a full American driving license.
Yeah.
And a full American driving license is accepted as a full driving license for an accompanied learner driver, isn't that correct? It's back to the point that Brian F. O'Bourne made. So
yeah,
well,
that's what I was thinking.
He has a provisional license in one pocket. He takes that out, and the guard says, "Well, you're not with somebody who has a full license." And Brian, if he doesn't use this language, but he'd say, "Well, actually, under the meaning of the law, full license isn't that correct, guard? Could be an American driving license." And the guard says, "Yes." And he said, then he reaches over to his other back pocket and he takes out, and he said, "There's my full American license."
Well, I was listening to that, and I think that's absolutely brilliant. But you know, is it actually lawful? Because if it's lawful, I would have no problem doing it.
But Breen is an actor, and an award-winning actor, and he just got a BAFTA there about a year ago. He could probably, through his various skills, manage to distract the guard and persuading me somebody else because that's his job, but I don't think anyone else could get away with it. Tom, that sounds very frustrating. Where's Owen? Owen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. From my part, it's more to do with the insurance companies. You don't even have to go to America to have difficulties. Like, I moved to Germany 2 years ago, and it was to move my driving experience over to Germany, it was quite difficult, but they did eventually accept it. But then I came back last year, and no insurance company would take my experience, my driving experience. I mean, I had a real problem trying to get insured, and I had bought a car and everything thinking that there was going to be no issue. And only for that, I had a driving experience in Ireland, and I'd been with a company before, that they eventually accepted my driving experience. But I believe one company quoted me €5,500 for insurance, which I think is just absolutely outrageous, you know. So I do have a lot of sympathy for these people that are coming back from home and getting these outrageous sort of insurance quotes. I mean, but for me and for my part as well, in terms of America is a different regulatory area, you know. I mean, if I went to the United States, I could drive for a year there, but I would have to go and get my driving test done there and get an American license. So, I mean, there's a whole bureaucracy no matter where you go.
It's not. There's no reciprocity between the EU and the States. Isn't that one of the, on that front anyway, it's not one of the problems, but there is reciprocity, obviously, within the EU to other EU countries. Yeah, so if you come back...
Yeah, there is.
It's a catch. In one sense, it's a catch-22. But anyway, legislators need to legislate and do more of it to update things, given the stories we've been hearing this afternoon. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Thanks to all our callers again. Fergus Weaney produced. Reminder that this coming Friday, we are in the Kingsley Hotel in Cork for the summer special Funny Friday with all the usual crew, loads of giveaways. And as per usual, it's absolutely free. Why not join us in the Kingsley Hotel in Cork this Friday? Fergus produced, and Ray Darcy is next.